So corresponding to the four wholesome supramundane consciousness, there are four resultant supramundane consciousness. They are called fruit consciousness or fruition consciousness. In actual occurrence, fruit consciousness immediately follows the path consciousness. So there is no time interval between the path consciousness and its corresponding fruit consciousness. Immediately after the cessation of first path consciousness, the first fruit consciousness arises. And immediately after the second path consciousness has ceased, then the second fruit consciousness arises, and so on. And the names are the same as the path consciousness. So stream entrant, once returner, non-returner, and arahant. The function of the wholesome supramundane consciousness is to eradicate the mental defilements. The function of the resultant supramundane consciousness is to further tranquilize the mental defilements. Wholesome supramundane consciousness is like putting out the fire. And the resultant supramundane consciousness is like pouring water onto the already extinguished fire, so that it cannot burn again. So there are only wholesome supramundane consciousness and resultant supramundane consciousness. Now on the first day, I gave you an example of akaliko, the attribute of the Dhamma, that if you do not understand Abhidhamma, you do not understand the significance of the word akalika. So akalika means no time, no time in giving results. That means it does not wait for 5 days, 7 days, or whatever, but it gives results immediately. Immediately means immediately after it ceases. So here is the example of that. First path consciousness is the wholesome or result-producing consciousness, and the first fruit consciousness is the result consciousness. So the results follow the result-producing immediately without any intervention of time between them. That is why when we say Dhamma is akalika, Dhamma has no delay in giving results, we mean the four path consciousness or the four paths. Now, there are 10 dhammas, 10 units of dhammas, four paths, four fruits, nibbana, and the scriptures. So when we say dhamma, for example, we say dhammang saranang gacchami, then we take refuge in these 10 kinds of dhamma. Four paths, four fruits, nibbana, and scriptures. But when we say Dhamma is akaliko, we mean only the path, not fruits, not nibbana, and not scriptures. So when you recite the formula Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo and so on, and when you say Swakato, it means all 10 kinds of Dhamma included. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo. Sanditiko, that means 9 supramundane Dhammas without the scriptures. That means 4 paths, 4 fruits, and Nibbana. But when you say Dhammo is akaliko, you mean only the paths, and not the fruits, and not Nibbana. And here, in the supramundane type of consciousness, there are no functional consciousnesses, only wholesome and resultant. But in the sense sphere consciousness, in the form sphere consciousness and formless sphere consciousness, we have three categories: wholesome, resultant, and functional. But here there is no functional supramundane consciousness. The reason is given below the resultant consciousness. So there is no functional consciousness in supramundane consciousness, because path consciousness occurs only once. Now, path consciousness occurs only once for a given person. It arises in his mental continuum only once. It never repeats itself. It will never arise in his mind again. So because path consciousness occurs only once, there is no functional consciousness in supramundane consciousness. In the sense sphere, form sphere, and formless sphere consciousness, you may have noticed that the functional consciousness is actually just a repetition of the wholesome consciousness. The same wholesome consciousness, when it arises again in the mind of an arahant, it is called functional consciousness. But here, path consciousness does not arise again. It arises only once. That is why there is no functional consciousness in supramundane consciousness. If it were to occur more than once, if the path consciousness were to arise more than once, it would be possible to say that there is functional consciousness in supramundane consciousness. Because if it arises again, and it arises in the mind of an arahant, it might be called functional consciousness, but it does not arise. But path consciousness does not occur again in those who have reached any of the four stages of enlightenment, because just as a lightning can destroy a tree by hitting it only once, so path consciousness can accomplish its function, which is the total eradication of mental defilements, just by occurring once, so that there would be nothing for it to accomplish even if it were to occur again. Now, path consciousness has the power to eradicate the mental defilements just by arising once. Even if it arises again, it will have no function to do. So that is why it does not arise again. So it is compared to a lightning destroying a tree. So when a tree is struck by lightning, it will never live again. It is totally destroyed. So in the same way, path consciousness, when it arises like lightning, it eradicates mental defilements altogether. So even if it were to arise again, it would have no function to do. That is why it does not arise again. Then, for living happily in this life, by letting it occur again and again, there is a fruit attainment in the form of successive movements of fruit consciousness to undertake that job. Now, after you gain jhana, you can enjoy the jhana by entering into it. When you are in jhana for a long time, you are relatively free from suffering. So here also, why cannot a person who has gained enlightenment get into that path consciousness again, so as to experience or enjoy the peacefulness of path consciousness? It is because there is the fruit consciousness to take that undertaking, to do that job. So that means after becoming enlightened persons, when they want to enjoy the peacefulness of enlightenment, then they will enter into what is called phala samapatti, fruit consciousness, again and again. So instead of path consciousness arise again, fruit consciousness arise again. And that fruit consciousness can arise for many times. At the first arising, fruit consciousness will arise for 2 times or 3 times only. But when a person who has gained enlightenment enters into that phala samapatti or attainment of fruit consciousness again, then the fruit consciousness can arise for billions of times, as long as he wishes. Maybe 1 hour, 2 hours, or 1 day, 2 days, and so on. So, for enjoying the peacefulness of enlightenment, there is fruit consciousness. That is why path consciousness does not arise in a person. Since path consciousness arises only once, there is no functional consciousness in the supramundane consciousness. So there are only 8 types of supramundane consciousness, 4 path consciousnesses and 4 fruition consciousnesses. I feel more comfortable using Pali words than the English. You know, saying consciousnesses. So consciousness is an uncountable word and it has no plural. So if you write consciousnesses and you spell check it, then it will say you are wrong. But when I say consciousnesses, I mean consciousness as one unit. So I think we can use consciousnesses also. The same with knowledge. Sometimes we use knowledges. Okay, so the supramundane consciousness consists of only 2 categories, wholesome and resultant. Now, what feeling do they arise with? No color there. I put both colors. So they can be accompanied by joy or they can be accompanied by indifference. So when we count all 89 or later 121 types of consciousness, especially 89 types of consciousness, we can say that all 8 types of the supramundane consciousness are accompanied by joy or accompanied by indifference. The parentheses are meant to be not parentheses actually. I do not know how to put color half red and half blue. So I use the parentheses. The left parentheses should be say red and right should be blue. They can be either accompanied by joy or indifference. That will become clear when we study further how the 8 supramundane types of consciousness become 40 types of consciousness. But before we go there, I would like you to look at the sheet with the name 2 kinds of jhanas. Now, so far, we have studied the jhana consciousnesses. And we use the word jhana in its technical sense with just one meaning, that is, rupa vajra jhana and arupa vajra jhana, or form jhana and formless jhana. But the commentaries sometimes they wanted to give us more information. And that makes us confused. So the use of jhana can be confusing. Because commentary said that there are two kinds of jhanas. That which examines closely the object, that is one kind of jhana. It is in Pali it is called Aramanupa Nijjana, its long name. And then there is another jhana which examines closely the characteristics, that means the anicca, dukkha and another nature of things. So there are two kinds of jhanas. One that examines the object closely, that means that dwells on the object firmly and closely. And there is another kind of jhana that examines the characteristics, the impermanent, suffering and non-soul nature, the characteristics closely. So there are two kinds of jhanas. But the eight attainments, that means four rupa-vajra jhanas and four arupa-vajra jhanas, are called Aramanupa Nijjana, the first one, because they examine closely the object of Earth, Kasina, and so on. This is the usual jhana we understand. So when we say jhana, we almost always mean the rupa-vajra or arupa-vajra jhana. And they are called jhana because they examine closely the object of Earth Kasina, Water Kasina, and so on. But what is confusing is the statement that Vipassana, Magga, and Phala are also called jhana. They are called Lakkhanupa Nijjana. Lakkhana means characteristic and upa nijjana means examine closely. So vipassana is called Lakkhanupa Nijjana, or in short, vipassana is also called jhana, magga is also called jhana, phala is also called jhana. So in this extension of meaning, everything can be jhana. The usual eight, four rupa vajra, four means actually five. Four or five rupa vajra jhanas and four arupa vajra jhanas are jhanas. And also vipassana, magga and phala can be called jhana. Now vipassana is called jhana because it examines closely the characteristics of impermanence and so on. And magga is called jhana because the work done by vipassana comes to be accomplished through magga. So when one reaches the magga, closely examining the characteristics is accomplished or it's come to an end. So magga is also called jhana. And phala is also called jhana because it examines closely the truth of cessation, that means nibbana. It takes nibbana as object and so it examines closely the truth of nibbana or cessation. So phala can also be called jhana. So according to this commentary, there are many kinds of jhanas. The usual jhanas we understand, and also vipassana, magga and phala are jhanas. Now, some people wanted to know whether there is jhana in vipassana. To answer this question first, we must ask him again, what do you mean by jhana? If you mean just examining closely as jhana, then vipassana is also jhana. Magga is also jhana, phala is also jhana. But if you mean jhana as a technical term for rupa-vajra jhana and arupa-vajra jhana, then there is no jhana in vipassana. Because the jhana as a technical term for rupa-vajra and arupa-vajra jhana takes the objects like kasina objects as object, but vipassana takes the five aggregates of clinging or nama and rupa as object, and magga and phala takes nibbana as object. So they are different. Now, in the Abhidhamma itself and in the commentaries, the supramundane chetas are described as jhanas also. That means they are not real jhanas as the rupavachara and arupavachara consciousness are, but they resemble the rupavachara jhana and arupavachara jhana in having the same number of jhana factors. Now, you have not studied the second chapter of this book, so you do not know the mental factors that arise together with a certain given citta. Now, when magga consciousness, when the path consciousness arises, it is said that 36 mental factors also arise. Among the 36, there is vitaka, vichara, piti, and sukha as vedana, and also ekagata. So that path consciousness resembles the first jhana, because it has five jhana factors arising with it. So in this way, the path consciousness, the first path consciousness, can be divided into five jhana consciousness, not real jhanas, but resembling the jhana consciousness. So the first path consciousness is divided into first jhana, first path consciousness, second jhana, first path consciousness, third jhana, first path consciousness, fourth jhana, first path consciousness, and fifth jhana, first path consciousness. So in this way, first path consciousness can be expanded into five types of consciousness: first jhana, second jhana, third jhana, fourth jhana, and fifth jhana. The second path consciousness again can be divided into five, third path consciousness five, fourth path consciousness five, and so when expanded, there are 20 wholesome supramundane consciousness, or there are 20 path consciousnesses. And the resultant consciousness are the same. So there is first jhana, first fruit consciousness, second jhana, first fruit consciousness, and so on. Fifth jhana, first fruit consciousness, and so on. So there are 20 fruit consciousnesses. And when we call them jhanas, we do not mean that they are real jhanas like rupavachara and arupavachara jhanas, but they are like the rupavachara and arupavachara jhana consciousness, because they have the same number of jhana factors as those jhanas have. So in this way, we get 40 supramundane types of consciousness, 20 wholesome or 20 magga consciousnesses, and 20 fruit consciousnesses. The difference between the jhanas, rupavachara jhanas, arupavachara jhanas, and the supramundane jhana is given in manual. So it says, whereas the mundane jhanas take as their object some concept, such as the sign of the kasina, the supramundane jhanas take as their object nibbana. Mundane jhanas and supramundane jhanas. Mundane jhanas take kasina object or other concepts as objects. Because when you practice meditation to reach jhanas, you take the kasina object or some other objects as objects. But supramundane jhanas, magga and phala, supramundane jhanas take nibbana as object. So as to the object, they are different. The mundane jhanas take mostly concepts as object, and supramundane jhana takes nibbana as object. And second, whereas the mundane jhanas merely suppress the defilements while leaving their underlying seeds intact, the supramundane jhanas of the path eradicate defilements so that they can never arise again. Now, mundane jhanas can suppress the mental defilements. Suppress means they cannot destroy them altogether. So these mental defilements that are suppressed by the mundane jhanas may come back. But the supramundane jhanas, especially of the path, eradicate mental defilements so that they can never arise again. So the eradication is absolute. And third, while the mundane jhanas lead to rebirth in fine material world and thus sustain existence in the round of rebirth. Now, mundane jhanas can lead you to rebirth in the Brahma world. So that means it sustains the existence in the round of rebirth. But the jhanas of the path cut off the fetters binding one to the cycle and thus issue in liberation from the round of birth and death. That means supramundane jhana can take you out of the round of birth and death, or out of the samsara. So mundane jhana leads to rebirth. Supramundane jhana leads to no rebirth. And finally, whereas the role of wisdom in the mundane jhanas is subordinate to that of concentration. In the mundane jhanas, concentration is more important than knowledge or understanding. Because only when you have strong concentration can you get jhana. But in the supramundane jhanas, wisdom and concentration are well balanced. So at the moment of enlightenment, at the moment of the realization of truth, both wisdom and concentration must be balanced. So any one of them must not in excess of another. So in the supramundane jhanas, wisdom and concentration are balanced. Concentration, fixing the mind on the unconditioned element or on nibbana, and wisdom, fathoming the deep significance of the Four Noble Truths. Now, concentration keeps the mind on nibbana firmly, and wisdom or understanding goes deep into the significance of the Four Noble Truths. So this is the difference between mundane jhanas and supramundane jhanas. It's given in the Comprehensive Manual of Abhidhamma on page 73. So now we have 40 supramundane types of consciousness. Now we have 81 mundane consciousness, 81 plus 8 supramundane consciousness, we have 89 types of consciousness. But if we expand the 8 supramundane consciousness into 40, we get 121 types of consciousness. So the chart shows 121 types of consciousness. If we want to see 89 types of consciousness, then we will take the 5 path consciousness as 1 path consciousness, and five fruit consciousness as one fruit consciousness. So in that case, the first column is Sotapatti Magga, the first Magga, and then next second Magga, third Magga, and the next fourth Magga, and then the second group. So the first column is Sotapatti Phala, fruit consciousness, and second Sakadagami, third Anagami, and fourth Arahata Phala consciousness. So when we take the five as one, then we get 89 types of consciousness. And when we take them as 40, we get 121 types of consciousness. So these 121 types of consciousness are taught in the first book of Abhidhamma called Dhammasangani. Now it is important to remember all these types of consciousness, 89 and 121, because when you come to the second chapter and so on, they will be referred to again and again. So if you do not remember, you will lose interest in the book. So please try to remember the 89 types of consciousness with the help of the chart or the card given to you. So let us do some exercise. Now the first column is what? Akusala Cheta. So unwholesome consciousness. And how many of them there are? 12. And the first are rooted in attachment. And then the two green ones are rooted in ill will, and the last two in delusion. And among these 12, how many are accompanied by joy? 4. How many by indifference? 6. How many by displeasure? 2. Very good. So go to the next. Now the first dot, what is that? I consciousness, right? So I consciousness, and this, and then you go down. Second dot, ear consciousness. Third dot, nose consciousness. Fourth dot, tongue consciousness. And then green cross, body consciousness. And then the below, receiving consciousness, and then the last one, investigating consciousness. So they are the result of what? Wholesome or unwholesome? Unwholesome. They are the results of unwholesome consciousness or unwholesome karma. And when do these types of consciousness arise? When you experience some desirable or undesirable object. Undesirable object. So when you see something ugly and so on. Now let us go to the second column. The first one, again, eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose, tongue, and then red cross, body consciousness. And then the blue one, receiving. And the red one, investigating, and blue one, investigating. So there are two investigating consciousnesses. And this column is the result of what? Wholesome karma. So when you experience something pleasant, when you see something beautiful and so on, the consciousness belonging to this group arises in the mind. And then the last column, the last column are called functional consciousness. So the first one is what? Five sense door adverting. That means at that moment, the mind turns to the object presented to it. And the second one is mind door adverting. So when you do not use the five senses, but when you use your mind, when you think of something, when you remember something and so on, then the second one, mind door adverting, will turn your mind to the object. And the last one, the red one, smile producing. And it arises only in the minds of arahants and buddhas. And these three columns are called ahituka cetas. Ahituka means rootless. So they do not arise, or roots do not arise with these cetas. And do you remember what roots are? Greed, hatred, delusion, non-greed, non-hatred, non-delusion. So these 18 arise with none of these hetus or none of these roots. So they are called ahetuka or rootless consciousness. 12 akusala cetas and 18 ahetuka cetas together, 30. Now these 30 are called what? Non-beautiful. Non-beautiful consciousness. So 30 non-beautiful consciousness. Now, among the 18 ahituka cetas, how many are accompanied by joy? Only two. The investigation and smile producing. How many are accompanied by indifference? 14. Huh? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 12. And then 1, 2, 14. So 14 are accompanied by indifference. And 1 is accompanied by pain. And 1 is accompanied by pleasure. Okay, the next group, the three columns, they are called Kama Vajra Sovana, sense sphere, beautiful consciousness. And the first column is what? Wholesome, kusala. And second column, resultant. So they are results. And the third column, functional. They arise in arahants and buddhas only. And among them, four are accompanied by joy and the first column. The four are accompanied by joy and the other four accompanied by indifference. The same with the eight resultant consciousness and with functional consciousnesses. So these 24 types of consciousness are called Kama Vajra Sovana, beautiful consciousness. Now, look at the first column of this Kama Vajra Sovana. They are kusala, wholesome consciousness. Wholesome consciousness are results producing, right? So, wholesome consciousness produces results. And these eight can produce identical results as well as non-identical results. So, which are the identical results of these eight? The middle column. Resultant, eight resultant consciousness. And which are the non-identical results of these eight? Among the ahitukas. Because these eight are the result of the eight wholesome, beautiful consciousness. But they are not identical. So, the wholesome, beautiful consciousness can produce both identical and non-identical results. Let us go back to akusala. Now, akusala can produce results because akusala is also result-producing. And which are the results of these 12 akusalas? The 7 of the first column of ahiduka cetas. So they are also non-identical results. So 12 akusala cetas, 18 ahiduka cetas, and 24 kamavacara sovana cetas altogether make 54 cetas, and they are called sense sphere cetas or kamavacara cetas. How many are accompanied by joy? 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 plus 12, 18. So 18 are accompanied by joy. And how many are accompanied by indifference? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6 again, 6 again. And the 20 plus 12 32. So 32 are accompanied by indifference, and 1 is accompanied by pain, and again 1 is accompanied by pleasure. And then we go to rupa vachara, form sphere consciousness. The first column, there are 5 jhanas, first, second, third, fourth, and fifth. So first to fourth jhanas are accompanied by joy, and the fifth is accompanied by indifference. The same with the resultant, and the same with the functional consciousness. So among the rupa vachara cetas, 15 rupa vachara cetas, how many are accompanied by joy? 12. And how many are accompanied by indifference? 3. Then we go to arupa vachara. There is no variety. So all are accompanied by indifference. Now, we need to put one name under rupa vachara and arupa vachara, and that is mahagada. Now, if you have the chart, you may write that down. Like kamavacara cetas 54, you may draw a line under rupavacara cetas and arupavacara cetas, one line. And then under the line, you write M-A-H-A-G-G-A-T-A, Mahakkata. And then in the parenthesis, 27. So 15 rupa vachara cetas and 12 arupa vachara cetas are collectively called Mahakkata cetas. Now please remember these names, because when we want to refer to these 27 as a whole, then we will say 27 Mahakkata cetas. So among the 27 Mahakkata cetas, 12 are accompanied by joy and 15 are accompanied by indifference. Now kamavacara cetas 54 plus Mahakkata 27 make 81 cetas, and these 81 cetas are called lokiya cetas, mundane cetas. That means belonging to the world of five aggregates of clinging. And the next group is called Lokuttara Cetas, supramundane consciousness. So they can be 8 or 40. So let us take 40. Now, the first group, 20, are what cetas? Path. Path cetas, and the second group are fruit cetas. In Pali, the first are called Magga and the second group is called Thala. And the first column of the first group is the stream, citta of the stream entrant. And the second column of one's Ritana, third column of non-Ritana, and fourth column of Arahant. The same with the fruit consciousness. And the first four of the stream entrant are accompanied by joy, and the last one accompanied by indifference. So out of 20 path consciousnesses, how many are accompanied by joy? 16. So 16 are accompanied by joy, and 4 are accompanied by indifference. The same with the fruit consciousness. So when we add up 81 mundane consciousness and 40 supramundane consciousness, we get 121 types of consciousness. But if we take supramundane consciousness to be 8, then we have 89 types of consciousness. So, out of these 89 types of consciousness, how many can arise in our minds? Not many. The first column can arise in our minds. The second column? Yes. Third column? Yes. Fourth column, without the last one. And then Kamajra Sobhana, the first column, yes, there is possibility. Second column, yes, but no third column. And then Rupa Vajra Chitas, the first column, only if we get jhanas. If we do not get jhanas, they are out of reach for us. And the same with the other types of consciousness. So, these are the 89 or 121 types of consciousness, and these are the basis for the further study of Abhidhamma. And these types of consciousness are given in the first book of Abhidhamma, along with the mental factors that arise with each of these chaitas. So, in the second chapter, we will study the mental factors one by one, and then we will study the combination of chetas and chetisikas. Okay.
Now it's time for questions.
Very well, sir. The difference between the Arahant and the Buddha, it said that the Arahant have this habit. If they don't get rid of these habits, they will never become Buddhas, or they will eventually become Buddhas also.
According to Theravada teachings, Arahants will never become Buddhas, because there are different paths, different ways. So an Arahant has reached the highest point of his way, and so according to Theravada teachings, Arahant will not become a Buddha.
Thank you.
Any more questions? Okay, if there's no more questions, we will call it a day. Please rise, put your palms together.